Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. Mainstream EU leaders have breathed a sigh of relief after a Hungarian presidency marked by what they saw as damaging freelance diplomacy. The torch has now passed to Poland, which holds the reins for 6 months at a particularly turbulent time. There are huge questions in the EU about how to handle Donald Trump, about defence and Western support for Ukraine, about international trade, Europe's competitiveness, and much else besides. The Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk is a veteran of the European political stage, having himself been a president of the EU Council for several years. But his position at home appears to be complicated by what opinion polls suggest is a drop in support amid disappointment over his delivery of planned reforms. Well, today I'm joined by a member of Mr. Tusk's governing coalition. Robert Biedron is a co-chair of the New Left in Poland, and he sits with the Socialists and Democrats here in the European Parliament. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
I'm also very pleased to welcome back Katarzyna Rot-Niewiadielowa, a non-attached member of this parliament and also a member of Smer in Slovakia, which is the party of Prime Minister Robert Fico, who has some tensions with the Polish government at the moment, as well as with the Ukrainian leadership. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you very much. So,
from what you've seen so far of the Polish presidency, of course, it's still early days, but what are your impressions overall?
We have the impression that the Polish would like to show that they want to achieve a lot of things. The Polish presidency program is quite a thick one. I've read it, and it's not bad. I like the slogan Security Europe, which is nice, but it's too much pressure for security and for defense to my liking. And I'm missing a little bit more about agriculture and a little bit more about some maybe competitiveness, but overall it's not bad. Yeah. We wish them all the best for the presidency, and if they achieve half of what they want to, it would be really great for Europe.
Defense is really the main focus, Robert Biedron?
It's one of the focuses, but it's fundamental, of course. We live in shaky times. We live in times where on the border with the European Union in Ukraine, we have a real war, a danger. We have multi-crisis war all around the globe. And security should be, and is in Polish presidency, one of the fundamentals of this term. But the Polish presidency is very ambitious. You must remember also that Poland is back on the European tracks. It's a very symbolic momentum for not only Poland, which is coming back to this European family, but for all the countries. We represent one of the most pro-European societies. We believe in Europe. We believe that together, in solidarity with other member states, we can achieve a lot concerning not only defense security, but food security, digital security, employment security, all the agricultural security, including the food security I mentioned. So on these areas, Poland wants to take leadership.
And Katarzyna Rot, let's talk a little bit about these tensions I alluded to on the gas issue between Slovakia and Ukraine at the moment. Just set out what the problem is according to you, and then maybe we'll get some reactions from your colleague.
Well, the problem for Slovakia is that the supply of the gas, and Slovakia has a transit capacity for the gas delivery to European Union.
From Russia, we should
From Russia, add. Yes. It was stopped because the Ukraine didn't prolong the agreement with Russians. And now we are losing not only economically, I mean the finance for the state budget, which was, we can say, half a billion euro per year for this capacity if it's really fulfilled, for the transit fees, so which will be really missing for our state budget. And we now overcoming a big transition in economy and big consolidation of the public finances as a responsible member of the Eurozone, which is not happening in every country. So it's quite a difficult time for us. Plus, it's for us a big question about the energy security, not only for Slovakia, but also for European Union itself. And we see that there is a big pressure to cut the ties for the cheaper energy resources from Russia, but from the East. We know that gas is still not under sanctions, so there is no reason to stop the supply. So the problem for the Europe is happening. We see that the gas prices are starting to rise, and we will be fully dependent on LNG from the United States, which is not ecologically or environmentally friendly. It's delivered via big ships to Europe. It's taking long.
The transit is LNG, right? Liquefied.
LNG, yes. So we see that we are exchanging the dependency to another one, which is on Americans. And this is not good for Europe because it's much more expensive. And we are losing our competitiveness as Europe and for our industry, and not only in the Eastern Europe, but also in the West. Plus, we are not sure if we can deliver enough gas for the European Union for the next winter, if we can survive as European Union. So that's a big, big insecurity.
What do you think of Slovakia's choices on this Russian gas issue?
I fully disagree, of course, because I don't understand why in 2025, while we have war in Ukraine, we want to buy the gas which is marked by the blood of Ukrainians. I don't understand that. We have choice. We don't have to support Putin's regime. And buying the gas with our Slovakian, European money, supporting production of the Russian tanks, which kill afterwards Ukrainians. This is something I, as Polish, as a Pole who is witnessing this war so much, together with Slovak society, I don't understand. And I don't understand how one of the leaders in European Union, Robert Fico, cannot understand that. This is a matter of solidarity. This is a matter of security. This is a matter of our future. And if we don't play in one team, we make Putin easier to win this war, just simply.
And when you saw, we'll come back to you, yes, Catherine, but when you saw Robert Fico visiting with President Putin in December, what did that make you think?
I hope he's not a Trojan horse of Putin in European Union. I still hope. But someone who is shaking the head of a guy who is accused of most serious crimes in this world, who is wanted by international criminal court, this is a tricky game. And I hardly believe that this game brings any profit to European society, because we know that Russia is a real threat to our security, to and not only the defense issue, but on any other field of security.
But I guess Robert Fico, he's kind of moving closer to or a position that could be compatible with what Donald Trump is going to do on Ukraine.
It's very much, and the part of the discussion was also with President Putin, was the discussion about the peace process and how to negotiate and how to start some kind of talks. That was also publicly announced, not only by us, but it was announced by President Putin that he agreed to have this kind of discussion. When you accuse Robert Fico shaking hand with Vladimir Putin as the war criminal wanted by the criminal court, but there is also Benjamin Netanyahu, who was led by the Polish authorities to come to their territory because of the Oswiecim anniversary, and who is also a search by the International
and
Criminal
I fully
Court.
Agree.
Yes,
it's
and
there
was, it was said by
I
the Polish presidency, by the Polish authorities and the government.
They are criminals, and you don't shake their hands. You arrest them.
Robert,
and don't
I was listening to you.
Yeah, yeah,
so
my point
is that there is a double standard in the European Union. We are trying to achieve not only energy security for Europe, but we are also trying to achieve the kind of peace talks which everybody is talking about. Finally,
Who is giving Robert Fico the mandate to conduct any peace talks without Ukrainian leadership?
Before he went to
without
to
Ukrainian,
there was a discussion
up to Ukraine first.
Robert, there was a discussion about this with Ukrainian leadership. There was Zelensky in the council meeting where they discussed about this. Fico announced as there is the agreement within the European Council, if you're going to talk to somebody who is from this kind of third country, that there is the announcement to the European Council president and to the European Union itself needed. This was done, which was confirmed by Costa and by others. There was a discussion about this in the Council. He went to Moscow, but part of it was the energy security, and part of his discussion was also the peace process, which was confirmed. So I don't know how we want to achieve that Putin will come to sit and discuss about the peace process if we don't ask him, if there is nobody doing that. And now we see the different leaders from European Union who wants to talk to Putin. And there is also Donald Trump who is coming.
The last thing we need in Europe now is self-called leaders of peace process like Orban or Fico.
But whoever is the leader, we need the peace.
It's up to
whoever
Zelensky,
can achieve this. It's not up to Zelensky, it's up to international
to
community. And it's two sides
process,
of the Congress.
And we can join on that. But I hardly believe that someone who is shaking the hand of Putin will be trustful broker or any peace process.
Robert, I just want to remind you that the French president, Emmanuel Macron, he recently caused a bit of a stir. He said Ukraine should hold what he called realistic discussions on territorial exactly. issues.
Yes, but that's Macron, who is also in trouble. So I just want to remind you the government is unstable and so on. I want Europe which is safe. The safe Europe means that Ukraine is closer to NATO and European Union. This will happen only when the Ukrainian government is independently deciding about the future of Ukraine. Not Fico, not Orban, not any other European or world leader. It's Ukraine which should decide
the same,
about the future.
But we have to get them around one table to talk, and that's important. And you see that
there
are...
It's
not only Macron, Orban. It's also Scholz and other leaders who are trying to reach Putin to get him on board. There is Trump. Coming, the president of the United States. We will see what will be the steps of this new coming president in the United States. But the important thing is that we need to have the channels how to deal with those two sides. It's not only up to Ukrainians.
And
it's up to two sides to agree a kind of peace they can both
fulfill. I just want to remind
you
that Trump promised during his campaign that in 24 hours after he wins elections, he will solve the war in Ukraine.
He's revised that timeline now. But anyway, I think we can see...
Exactly.
I think we can see from this discussion it's not going to be easy for the EU to come up with a sort of coherent position once Trump's offer, whatever it is, actually makes itself clear. But we'll have to stop there for now. I do want to thank my guests, Katerina Rotneva-Dyalova and Robert Bidron, for this discussion. Thanks for listening and watching us here on Talking Europe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.